Thank you, ladies. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Most of us know that Monday was April Fool's Day, but perhaps you're not aware that today is Walk Around Things Day. This is a national holiday. Walk Around Things Day is an important day to avoid problems and risks by simply walking around the potential problem. Walk around things can also be used figuratively. It is also wise to walk around or avoid topics, issues, and problems that are sticky, may provide an argument, or are not readily solved. And that kind of ties into what we're going to look at today. The Bible says in Proverbs that a wise man foresees the evil and hides himself, but a fool passes on and is punished. So we'll take a look at that today. In Judges chapter 8, we have a very familiar story just before this. Surely you're familiar with the life of Gideon. And Gideon was a lowly farmer from Manasseh who God raised up. And even though he was leery to do it, and you get a lot of tentativeness when you hear Gideon talk, he did it. And God, he raised an army. God cut down his army from 32,000 to 10,000 down to 300 men, if you'll remember. And he was pretty nervous. God sent him down into the camp, and he heard that they were all afraid of him. He came back out, and they started the battle. And we find now, right after the battle is where we're going to pick up, Gideon and his 300 men are going after the rest of the Midianites that haven't killed each other. And they've actually sent up to the tribe of Ephraim and asked them to help them get mop up the Midianites, which they did. And they all meet together here in Judges chapter 8. In verse 1, the Bible says this. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Ebiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Let's pray before we go any further. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask this morning as we look at your word that you would challenge us with the example of Gideon. And Lord, I pray that what is said would honor you and may it affect the way that we live and even act and react in the days to come. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this ought to be a time of great celebration. When they all get together, they ought to be slapping each other on the back, saying, good job. And they ought to finish up the job and finish up getting the Midianites. But instead, these guys are mad. They're upset. The Bible says they chided with him sharply. Has the idea of being intensely red. They were ticked off. And they came to Gideon with this complaint. Now, before we examine the complaint, let's just talk for a minute about Ephraim. You may want to know some background about this tribe. The tribe of Ephraim was known for their arrogance. They were proud, selfish snobs, and this was well known. Why were they this way? Well, there's a number of reasons that they would give you why they should be so proud. First of all, the tabernacle was at Shiloh, which is in the land of Ephraim. And so they said, well, hey, listen, we are great because we have the tabernacle. Also, the greatest general that Israel had ever had, Joshua, was an Ephraimite. What more do you need? And also, the word Ephraim means honored son. So these people were well known for their snobbishness. In fact, if you look over, we won't take the time to look there, but in Isaiah, in talking about the millennium, when everything's going to be so much better, the Bible actually says that the Ephraimites will no longer be envious and jealous. Why? Well, because everybody knew, wow, that's really going to be something. And so Ephraim was known for this arrogance. And sure enough, right on cue, they show up and they come up to Gideon and they start complaining. Now, Gideon, remember what he's been through. He's tired. I mean, the events of the days before this, if you think about it, probably took a lot out of him. God telling him to raise up an army and him kind of saying, okay, but are you sure? And the whole fleece thing. And I'm not sure he slept real well. He was probably anxious a lot of the time. And now he's been in a battle. They've been out slashing Midianites right and left. And so he's tired. He's also hungry. We know this because right after this, he tries to get some food from some people and they won't give it to him. Causes a real problem. He's thirsty. He's tired. He's hungry. How would you react if these stuck-up snobs with their little nitpicky complaint walked up to you and instead of slapping you on the back went, how would you react? Well, what a bunch of crybabies. I'll tell you how I might react. What? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You bunch of crybabies. Why didn't you go with me when we attacked Midian? In fact, where were you when I was trying to raise an army? It's not enough that we're all happy here. God has given us a victory. We should be celebrating. But no, you show up with this this nitpicky complaint. By the way, do you really think that the Ephraimites would have followed a lowly Manassan farmer into battle? I don't think so. How selfish. How arrogant. Get out of here. If Gideon had done this, there probably would have been a civil war right there in the camp of Israel. And I'll prove that to you in just a little bit. Israel was at a quandary here. But I want you to notice how Gideon responds. He sets his emotions aside. He sets his circumstances aside. And he makes them feel good. But look what he says here. He says, your victory is awesome. I mean, they're standing there holding the heads of Oreb and Zeb. Those are really great names to name your kids, I think, there. And they've got them here, and they're all mad. And Gideon goes, oh, look at that. Oh, you guys are amazing. And he says, and he uses a proverb here. It may not make a whole lot of sense to it, but he's basically saying, it may seem like the gleaning of the grapes, which is just little stuff for Ephraim, but the little stuff of Ephraim is better than the big stuff for the rest of us. You guys are just out of this world. And you can kind of see the Ephraimites. They're walking up, they're all mad, and they're all red, and they go, yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can see it. Yeah, and they slap each other on the back, and they go back to war, like they should. Gideon's words were like cool water on hot rocks. Just put out the whole problem. They were able to unite, go after the Midianites, and mop up the battle. What a great example of diplomacy here. He should have really won a Nobel Peace Prize at this point. Now, what can we learn from this small story? There is so much. Let's look at a couple things this morning. First of all, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. We need to be careful about how we respond, especially when people are hot, when you can see that they're red, when there's a confrontational situation, be careful. We all know what the natural reaction is. When somebody comes at us, what do we want to do? We want to do the same thing back. But I want to challenge us this morning to be in the habit of taking a deep breath and remembering a soft answer turns away wrath. Have you been a little upset with some confrontation lately? In fact, maybe it's a teacher or a paper that you've written, and you've seen some stuff, and you just don't agree with it. And you're like, oh, may I challenge you to be careful how you respond to your mom and dad when they have this outlandish request, to the referee when he makes that call? Are you kidding me? Be careful. In fact, when a policeman pulls you over, be careful how you respond. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You and I need to be careful about this. When I was in high school, we used to play flag football. I'm sure a number of you have played that. Instead of tackling each other, you just pull a flag and the play is dead. And so for PE class, we were playing flag football. And we had a guy on our side named Robbie. And Robbie was on defense. And as the running back broke through the line, Robbie in the secondary got him. He kind of put his arms around him. They both went to the floor. He pulled the flag, the ground, and everything was dead. But when they got up, the PE teacher said, "Robbie, don't tackle." Now, that's all he said. "Robbie, don't tackle." Robbie got up, looked him in the face, and said, "I didn't tackle him." "Yes, you did." "No, I didn't." "Well, Robbie, you're both on the ground. You tackled him. You had your arms around him." "I didn't tackle him." "Yes, you did." And we're all standing around going, uh-oh. Back and forth, back and forth. By the time it was over, Robbie got not only sent to the principal's office, he got suspended from school because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Now, that is an extreme illustration, but how many times do we make matters so much worse because we don't answer carefully? We've got to be careful about that. Even when a teacher writes on your paper, I'll be honest with you, I am taking classes right now again after 25 years, music classes, good stuff, really good. But man, my first couple papers I got back, and there's like comments all over them. And my reaction initially was, "What? I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years. I know what. You know what? I got to be careful about that. Because you and I won't learn anything with that kind of an attitude. But if we will humble ourselves and look at even criticisms as an opportunity to learn, God will be glorified with that. You know, when we think we're right, we still need to answer carefully. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 20, remember this passage when God says, if you do wrong, you take it and you suffer for it, you take it patiently. Well, everybody does this. Even the heathen do that. What glory have you for that? But if you do right and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, when you are in a situation when you've done the right thing and you're suffering for it and you take it patiently, God is pleased with that. And now I'm not saying that you should let people walk all over you. Okay, stand for what is right, but be careful how you do it. If you take it patiently, God is glorified because of that. Here is a great example of diplomacy. Gideon going out of his way to make them feel better. And doesn't the Bible say that we should esteem others better than ourselves? You know, Gideon could have said something totally different here. In fact, turn with me over to Judges chapter 12. Judges chapter 12. I want to show you another situation that is almost identical to this one, where Jephthah had the same opportunity. The Ammonites were against the children of Israel, and God had raised up Jephthah. They had won a battle. They were chasing the Ammonites. And guess who shows up at the celebration? Look at chapter 12, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over against to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Now, Jephthah has the exact same opportunity that Gideon had. But look how Jephthah responds. Verse 2, and Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? He let them have it. He threw it right back in their face. No cool water here. What happened? Look at verse 4. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. Civil war broke out because Jephthah couldn't give the right answer. And you know, there were many men that died. Look over at verse 6 of that chapter, the end of the verse. It says, and there fell at the time of the Ephraimites 42,000. 42,000 men lost their lives because Jephthah couldn't answer the way Gideon did. May I challenge us this morning? The ramifications can be great for the wrong response. Even when we're right, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Secondly, this morning, a selfish attitude is never excusable. A selfish attitude. Now, let me remind you, Gideon is tired, he's thirsty, he's hungry, he can't get any food. If anyone had a right to blow up on the spot, it really is Gideon. I mean, you think about it, he's just maybe on his last nerve here, and these guys show up. If anybody had the opportunity, here it is. But he controlled himself here. As a youth pastor, I was amazed how many times a teenager would show up at an activity, and they would just kind of start the whole activity with this announcement. All right, everybody, I didn't get any sleep last night. I didn't have dinner or breakfast. I am really tired, and don't mess with me. Now, how are we supposed to respond to that? Basically, everybody just said, oh, watch out for that guy. He's just really, Because we missed our sleep, do we get a special dispensation for being unkind? I haven't found that anywhere in God's Word. And so when we miss a meal and maybe we're borderline diabetic and we want to get mad at everything, does that give us the right to be unkind? No. A selfish attitude is never excusable. Don't be like that. Don't use your circumstances as an excuse to be unkind. Now, on the other side of the coin, let me say this. We ought to cut people slack that are having a hard time, okay? But don't let you be the person that demands that everybody treat you a certain way, even though you're a cranky grump. Don't do that, because it is not acceptable. God never gives us that special clause unless you haven't had enough sleep or food or things are going poorly for you. A selfish attitude is never excusable. I like how Jim Berg illustrates us as a tea bag. He basically says, you know, we're like a tea bag. When things get hot, it reveals what we are. And so if you find yourself reacting like that, you need to get alone with God and confess some bitterness and some things in your heart that may be going awry that show forth that unkind spirit. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A selfish attitude is never excusable. And thirdly this morning, a sassy arrogance misses the point. A sassy arrogance misses the point. Here's basically the gist. Don't be an Ephraim. Don't be the type of person that always has to be the president of the committee, the chairman of this, has to be involved in everything. And if you're not, you're ticked off and everybody knows it. People walk around on pins and needles around you, hoping not to upset. Don't be like that. Why? Because that says, my life is about me. And that's not true. Our lives are about God. That is the reason that we are here. In fact, the whole story of Gideon shows us this. Why did God choose a lowly farmer from Manasseh? Why did he cut down the army from 32 to 10, down to 300 men? Why did he do that? Because nobody could say, wow, Gideon was such an incredible warrior, and those 300 guys were so awesome. People had to say, there was something bigger than that going on. They had to say, God delivered them. And that's what our life is all about. You and I have opportunities all day long, every day, to give God glory. And when we get all sassy and arrogant and stuck up and snobbish and make people treat us a certain way, we blow it. God is glorified with a humble spirit as we interact with the people that are around us. We need to be careful that we don't become like an Ephraim. And I want you to see how Gideon reacted when they tried to give him the glory. Look at back at Judges 8 and verse 22 and 23. Verses 22 and 23. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy sons, and thy sons' sons also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. They wanted to make him the king. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither my son, shall my sons rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. He points everybody back to where this all started. God did this. And that's what we can do as well. If there's something bothering you today, my heart goes out to you. Maybe you haven't had enough sleep, or maybe you are tired or hungry or something like that. But you have a special opportunity to, even in the difficult circumstance, bring God glory. Don't miss that opportunity. As we look at the life of Gideon, let's remember these three things this morning. A soft answer turneth away wrath. As you go throughout your day, be careful. Even in that confrontational situation that is approaching, be careful. Approach it with humility by the grace of God. God will give you grace. He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. A selfish attitude is never excusable. So stop saying your circumstances are the cause for all of your problems. Be careful about how you react with the people around you. And finally, a sassy arrogance misses the point. So, don't be that way. Don't be an Ephraim. Remember to give God the praise and the glory in all that you do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You for the opportunity to praise You all day long, each and every day. And Lord, when we get back into our routine of the classes and the duties that we have to perform, help us not to forget how important our reactions and our words are and the way that we treat the people around us. May we be very, very careful to bring You glory in all that we do, even when circumstances are difficult. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.